Sail the Right Ships, a story about 12 ways to have winning relationships, pillar number 5 and book number 6 in the 12 Pillars of Peak Performance book series by Brian Kane. Read by Brian Kane, Aaron Kane, Griffin Gum, Jacob Armstrong, and Randy Jackson. Edited by Mary Lou Schuler. Digitally mastered by Griffin Gum. Introduction. After finding out that his flight back home to Dallas from Detroit was canceled, a disappointed, frustrated, and stressed out Matthew Simons was awkwardly introduced to the passenger sitting next to him, Coach Kenny. Matthew Simons and Coach Kenny strike up a conversation about optimal living and the 12 pillars of peak performance while eating together at Fuddruckers. After looking for a hotel room that night and finding out that all hotels in the greater Detroit area were sold out, Matthew Simons and Coach Kenny spend the night at the home of one of Coach Kenny's friends, a former Navy SEAL named Marcus. After an early morning yoga session and powerful discussion about the 15 keys that unlock true mental toughness and an elite mindset, Matthew Simons and crew head to the Detroit Dominators game. While there, they meet with the team's head coach, Tony Shea, and learn about the 7 essentials to establish and enhance a championship culture. As they finish their meeting in Coach Shea's office before the Thanksgiving Day game, Dominators president Dr. Rob comes into the office in red lights. The person he had lined up to be the successful speaker of the day to address the team on what it means to be relentless is stuck in traffic and is not going to make it in time. Coach Kenny delivers a moving speech to the team before the game about the power of the time we have been given in our lives and the importance that one play or one day can make in a game or in your life. Dr. Rob, moved by Coach Kenny's speech, invites him, Matthew Simons, and the guys to be his guests up in his presidential suite for the game. During pregame warmups, Matthew Simons sits with Coach Kenny and asks for any other tips he might have on time management. After receiving Coach Kenny's 9 tips for mastering and managing the time of your life, Matthew Simons hears a familiar voice calling to him. It's Dr. Rob, who asks both Matthew Simons and Coach Kenny to come and see his office. While in his office, they discuss the 8 benefits of being data informed. As they finish their meeting and the game starts, the phone rings in Dr. Rob's office. He hangs up and announces to Matthew Simons that a special guest is on the way to the office to meet both him and Coach Kenny.
Chapter 1, A Special Guest.
Hey, Matthew Simons, good news,
Dr. Rob said as he hung up the phone.
We have a special guest that's coming up here to meet with you. You're going to be pumped. The special guest is...
Chapter 2, Edith.
The special guest is Edith,
Dr. Rob said, beaming.
I'm so glad you get to meet her. I know she's super busy with the big game today and making sure that everything goes off without a hitch here in the suite, but Coach Shea told her that we had guests and to check in to see if we needed anything. Well, you were one of those guests, and if Coach Shea or anyone asks Edith to do something, she is on it. You are going to love her energy.
I had already been super impressed with the energy of Coach Shea, Dr. Rob, and the whole facility. Then I met Edith. As she came walking through the door with her smile ear to ear, hair up in a bun with rosy red lipstick and matching nail polish, she had a positive and polite presence that seemed almost too positive to be real.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rob,
she said as she gave him a high five.
Looks like you're standing in a high five zone. Detroit!
Detroit right back at you, Edith. So good to see you,
Dr. Rob replied.
I want you to meet
Matthew Simons and Coach Kenny. You must be Matthew Simons. It's a pleasure,
Edith said as she was the first one to extend her hand. As we shook hands, you could feel the bolt of positive energy radiate from her into you. It was a handshake like I had never felt before. Nice to meet you, Edith, I responded. This is...
You must be Coach Kenny,
she asked, cutting me off as Coach Kenny emerged from the bathroom.
Nice to meet you, Coach Kenny.
Matthew Simons, Coach Kenny. What you just experienced from Edith is exactly why we wanted her to be the hospitality manager of the presidential suite. Her energy is contagious,
Dr. Rob said.
All of our energies are contagious, sir,
Edith said with a smile.
The only question is your energy worth catching or avoiding?
I had easily been able to determine that Edith's energy was something that I wanted to catch. I needed to catch her positivity.
Hey, Coach Kenny, did you know that you're standing in a high five zone?
Edith said as she put her hand up in the air and made solid high five contact with Coach Kenny while they both said, Detroit.
Gentlemen, it pays to be a winner and it pays to be first. Did you both notice how I was the first one to extend my hand to you and be proactive with initiating a high five? Being proactive is a big part of bringing positive energy. What I have learned from this man is that feelings are not facts, and that you just have to act differently than you feel and bring it all the time. Because when you bring it and you sing it, it brightens others up. And that's what customer service and hospitality here in the Presidential Suite are all about, making this most positive and most fun place you have ever been.
Edith said as she put her left arm around Dr. Rob and put her head on his shoulder, giving him a hug.
Dr. Rob, your wife was asking for you to come with her. And as you know, happy wife.
Happy life.
Dr. Rob finished with a smile.
I will take care of these two gentlemen and make sure they have a great game day experience. I also understand that you, Matthew Simons, are looking for some ways which you can help elevate your life to the next level and be more of a peak performer in the office and especially at home. Is that correct?
Edith asked. Yes. How did you know that? I responded.
It's a pleasure. It's also my mission to know as much about my friends who I haven't met as I can. Dr. Rob filled me in when I called him to check to see if he needed anything.
Edith said with a smile.
If you would allow me the pleasure, I'd like to share with you 12 ways we focus on having winning relationships here in the Presidential Suite. I learned these 12 ways from my teammates here and have applied them to all other aspects of my life. And I have become such a better wife, mother, sister, daughter, and person overall. Just because I changed my focus from me to you, from seeing what I could get from each day to what I could give each day, from walking into this stadium saying, here I am, to walking in here and saying, there you are. A checkup from the neck up has made all the difference. It's made all the difference because I choose to.
Chapter 3, Sail the Right Ships.
I choose to sail the right ships. I made the shift from trying to win championships, which in my case was college and a paycheck, to building relationships, and it totally changed the game.
Edith said.
I put influence and impact ahead of income, and I made more money than I ever had in my life. It's crazy that not everyone knows this, or why I never heard of it before coming here. If you put income first, you don't have as much influence and positive impact, and you don't make as much as when you put influence and impact first. It's like moving from transactional relationships to transformational, or from temporary to legendary, and it has made such an impact in all areas of my life.
Standing there with Coach Kenny, Edith, and Dr. Rob, I felt like I was drinking from a fire hydrant of winning relationship philosophy. I needed to get my phone out and start writing these down.
Edith, please set sail with these two fine men. I'm going to see my plus one,
Dr. Rob said as he shook our hands and walked away.
It's a pleasure, sir,
Edith replied.
Do you guys want to see the game, or would you like to learn about the 12 ways to have winning relationships? We can do both, yet it would be easier for me to show you how to have winning relationships than just talk about it.
Edith, we are all yours. We can watch this game on the internet later. We may only have this moment with you, whatever you think is best.
Coach Kenny said, and frankly, I couldn't have agreed more. For the first time in years, I was focused more on my own development and performance than I was on the players that I usually watched on the field via television.
Okay, men, it's a pleasure.
Edith said.
Come with me.
Chapter 4, The Walk.
As we followed Edith out of Dr. Rob's office and through the crowd of people back to the kitchen and into her office, I counted 35 high fives. She was a high five machine, saying Detroit every time. It was fun to watch and it was contagious. By the time we got back to her office, Coach Kenny and I were also high fiving people and saying Detroit. My energy level was noticeably higher than it was before the walk. I was totally going to implement the high-five zone in my house, just like Coach Kenny had talked about back at Fuddruckers the night before in the airport. It was crazy how much of what he had talked about there was being done by the SEALs, Coach Shea, Dr. Rob, and Edith. I couldn't wait to break it down with him.
Chapter 5, Burn the Boats.
Edith, I asked as we walked into our office, have you always been this outgoing?
No, sir. Being outgoing and getting out of your comfort zone is a skill that I learned. Now I like to think of it as a lifestyle, not an event, because I have seen the tremendous positive impact that being outgoing can have on others.
Edith answered.
The day I burned my boats and sailed the right ships was a day I will never forget.
Burned the boats and sailed the right ships? I didn't get it. I was confused.
My friend and mentor, Sandra, who works here as well in concessions, one day invited me to choose a different perspective. I was down in the dumps and we were losing. was before Coach Shea was hired, and let me tell you, he is the definition of positive and relational.
Edith responded.
Anyway, I was down in the dumps, not feeling as if I was making an impact in the world, just selling burgers and cola at the concession here in the stadium. And one day, Sander asked me what I really wanted. That's a great question. What do you really want? I said I wanted to help people, not just to be flipping burgers. Maybe if it was a part of the world's greatest hamburger restaurant in Fuddruckers. But that day, I was just down. She said to me, Edith, go get your mind right. How many people a day come to your window? I said, about 300 to 400. Well, she said to me, Edith, that's 300 to 400 opportunities you get to make a positive impact on someone's life. Your energy is transferable. You have more influence and impact on these people's lives and experiences in one day than you even imagine. You need to be where your feet are, and you need to burn your boats and sail the right ships. You need to invest in your customers and your teammates behind this counter with you, because right now, you ain't no fountain. You're a drain, and you are pulling everyone down. Flip that switch, act different than how you feel, and know that when you are behind this counter and in this stadium, it ain't about you. That hit me. She was right,
Edith said.
And then I asked her what she meant by burning the boats. Sandra said, Edith, in the early 1500s, there was a conquistador who led his army via ship to Mexico. This conquistador and his men were after the gold and treasures of the Aztecs. However, there were only 600 men with this conquistador, none of whom had armor. Attempting to conquer the mighty Aztecs was sure death wish. The conquistador was different than all the others. Rather than march his men straight into battle, he continued to build relationships with them. He let them rest and recover. Daily, he aroused them with grandiose speeches and visions of what their life would be like if they went home with the Aztec's treasure. His speeches arose a belief in his men that they could do anything, that life was an adventure, that life was experienced at its highest level when you were out of your comfort zone. This conquistador, then, with just a few words, lit a fire and desire in his men that they never knew existed. He said, "Today we attack. Today we fight. Today we take what's ours. We take the treasures of the Aztec, and we go home in their boats, or we die fighting till the end." And in that instant, he turned to his number one man and said, "Burn the boats." Burning the boats cut off any or all thought of retreat, eliminated any thought of not going all out. It was win or die. That story changed my life,
Edith said.
It made me think about how committed I was to what I was doing. At the time, I was just showing up and going through the motions. Once I heard that story, I decided that I was going to burn my boats and go all in. I was going to get off the treadmill of feeling sorry for myself and start focusing on others more. I was no longer going to let fear, my comfort zone, or anything hold me back from going all out and serving others at the highest level. From that moment forward, I said goodbye to quiet and shy Edith and became the woman I am now,
Edith said as she wiped a tear from her eye.
It was that one story, that one moment of Sandra taking the time to mentor me that changed my life. Now I wake up every day trying to do that for others. If I could help other people avoid pain or gain pleasure, I'd do it. It's my mission and it's a pleasure. When you burn boats and make the ultimate commitment, you win with people. It's one of the only ways to win with people. You have to be totally committed to them, no matter what. You are 100% responsible for the relationship success. I truly believe that.
I totally agree, Edith,
Coach Kenny said.
I am reminded of the power of commitment every day at breakfast.
Chapter 6, Ham and Eggs.
Every morning when I have breakfast, I get the same thing. I get ham and eggs,
Coach Kenny said.
It reminds me of commitment. The chicken, he participates in breakfast. The pig, he is committed. One of the only ways you can win with people is to be committed to them.
I love that one, Coach Kenny,
Edith responded.
The greatest gift you could give is your presence. If you can give fully of yourself when you are with others and be there in the moment, you will win with people. It's so hard to do that now with cell phones and all the distractions. It's almost like we have forgotten the power of present and that the time is always now and the place is always here.
They were speaking right to me. I needed to be more present, to give that gift away. I needed to burn my boats and be home. I wasn't even the chicken. I was hardly participating at home at all. I wanted to be the ham. I wanted to be totally committed to my family, and both Edith and Coach Kenny were showing me how to win with people. This was one game I might never see, but would never forget, and I loved it.
Chapter 7, Blood Donation.
Take a look at my two little angels here,
Edith said proudly as she pointed to a picture on her desk of her twin boys.
They teach me more about commitment, love, and relationships than anything else. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a scare, and what I thought was probably the worst thing that could happen became the best thing that could ever happen.
I was hoping that getting stuck in Detroit would turn out the same way. When I was sitting on the plane less than 24 hours ago and heard the captain say they were turning the plane around, it was the worst thing that could have happened to me. Now, I was thinking it might be the best thing that could have happened to me.
My son Stuart fell off his bike and got a major cut on his leg. All the places to fall, he fell on a broken piece of glass and just shredded up his leg. It was nasty. He was losing a lot of blood and we couldn't get it to stop bleeding. So we called the ambulance and they came so fast. Luckily for us, because we all rode in the ambulance together and about halfway to the hospital, he passed out. He had lost so much blood from his wound that he passed out. Thank God for paramedics. When we got to the hospital, they brought him right in for surgery. After surgery, the doctor came out and said the surgery was a major success, no big deal, but that Stuart had lost a lot of blood. They were running low in the hospital on his specific type of blood and were wondering if we could donate. I knew from my pregnancy that his blood type was not mine, but his brother Tyler had the same type. That's when,
Edith said, holding back tears.
That's when Tyler said, I'll do it, Doc. You can have mine, and he followed the doctor into a room. He asked if I could come. Then when the doctor was wrapping up the band around his arm to find his vein, my sweet little Tyler looked up at the doctor and asked, will it be long before I die, or does it happen instantly? My sweet little Tyler was going to give his life to save that of his brothers. He did not realize that you could donate blood. He thought that they were taking all of his. I was so proud of him.
Edith said, breaking out in tears.
He made me realize that it's not about you. It's about the you that you serve. He was right there to serve his brother, and I am here to serve you. So sorry for crying on you guys. I'm just so blessed to have this newfound focus on others. My life will never be the same. Enough about me. Let's talk about the 12 ways to have winning relationships that we focus on here in Detroit.
Edith exclaimed as she gave a high five to Coach Kenny and me. I gave her a hug and lost it. There I was, in the office of a woman who I just met about 10 minutes before, and I was crying as I hugged her. Her stories about burning the boats and her son willing to give of his life to save his brother hit me. They hit me hard. I didn't think that anyone would have done that for me. Why? Because I wouldn't have done that for them. It was time for me to evolve. It was time for me to burn my boats and go all in. I was tired of being the chicken. It was time to be the ham and get committed. Thank you for sharing your story, Edith. I'm so inspired.
I'm glad you are inspired, Matthew Simons,
Edith replied.
Now what you need are some ideas. Ideas plus inspiration. That's what gets you where you want to go. You need to know what to do, and on top of making the ultimate commitment to the moment and to others, I want to share with you the 12 ways to have winning relationships. These are 12 ideas that I think will help you in any and all relationships.
I was all ears. I needed all the help I could get.
Chapter 8, Number 1, The Story of the Law Professor.
To illustrate the first of the 12 ways to have winning relationships, I'll share what we call the story of the law professor.
Edith said.
There was a law professor who was in his final semester of teaching. He stood in front of his last class on the day of the final exam, his last ever in the classroom, and he said, some of you have been here with me all year. It's good to see you again.
Edith began as she deepened her voice, imitating the professor.
Some of you I have not seen all semester, and you are here to take the final exam, which is worth 100% of your grade. Regardless of how you perform today, and regardless of whether you stay in the field of law or not, remember that these 5 words as you leave this university, and you will be successful because you will have successful relationships. Build relationships and develop trust. Matthew Simons, Coach Kenny, building relationships and developing trust is at the foundation of what we do here in Detroit.
Edith said as she gave us each a high five.
We pride ourselves on knowing the names of our friends, what most people call our customers, and making them feel as welcome as possible by providing a world-class service. We want them to trust that when they come to a game here, that they are going to get the same exceptional service game after game. It's a pleasure to provide people with world-class experience.
build relationships and develop trust. I needed to do a better job of that under my own roof and in my work as a consultant. How easily I had forgotten such a simple truth.
My experience has been that it's easier to build and develop relationships in your initial meeting and in someone's first time at the stadium than it is to try and win them back.
Edith continued.
Let me share a story with you to illustrate what I mean.
Chapter 9, Number 2, Fire, Water, and Trust.
Dr. Rob is always reminding and teaching us of the value of first impression. He says daily that we only get one opportunity to demonstrate Detroit, that people will remember coming here based on the interactions that they have with our staff more than with our fans, and that we have much more control over our staff than we do our fans. So he puts most of his focus on the staff.
Edith said.
He also says that if you make a good first impression, that will go a long way with building trust, and that if you lose trust, you are lost in that relationship. We use this story to help illustrate the point in our training. Fire, water, and trust are out on a hike and they get lost. They are going to have to spend the night together. As the sun falls, they realize that due to cloud cover, there will be no moonlight, and it will be so dark that they will not be able to see more than a foot in front of them. There's concern among the three as to what they will do if they get separated. Fire says, "Well, if we get separated in the morning, look for smoke. That's where I will be." Water says, "Yeah, if we split up, look for the green grass and listen for the waterfall. That's where I'll be." Trust, looking both fire and water in the eye, with the limited daylight remaining, says, "You better not lose me, because once you do, you will never get me back." The point of the story, which Dr. Rob tells often in our training sessions, is that it's not enough to build a relationship and develop trust. You have to deliver on trust. It's like a bank account. You have to keep making deposits of trust. If you lose trust, you may never get it back. We work extremely hard to build relationships and develop trust here in Detroit. We also work equally as hard on keeping that trust by being consistent and giving good service first. We have four keys that we review daily that we call the four distinctions of a great team player. But before we can cover those, I have to tell you one more story. It's a story that teaches the third of the 12 ways to have winning relationships. It's a story about commitment, service, and putting others first. It's a story about being a great teammate.
I knew I needed to be a better teammate in all aspects of my life. I couldn't wait to hear the third of the 12 ways to have winning relationships.
Chapter 10, Number 3, The Man, the Bus, the Flowers.
There was a man, let's call him Jim, who woke up one day and his car wouldn't start. His wife was already out of the house, so he sprinted to the bus station so he wouldn't be late to work. After a long day on the job, he was boarding the bus on his way home when it hit him. It was his wife's birthday.
Edith acted out what it must have looked like for Jim, putting his hands on his head as if she were the one who was forgetting.
He had totally forgotten it was her birthday, and she was going to be waiting for him at the bus stop. He had nothing for her on her birthday. When he sat down on the bus, he wore on his sleeve the frustration of his car not starting and forgetting his wife's birthday. "Don't think I have seen you on this bus before, son," the man sitting across from the aisle from him said. "Looks like you have had one heck of a rough day." "Is it that obvious?" Jim replied. "My car wouldn't start this morning. It's my wife's birthday, and I totally forgot to get her anything. She's picking me up at the bus stop, and I don't know what to do." "Well, my friend," the man sitting across from Jim said, "today is your lucky day. Here, take these." And he handed Jim a beautiful bouquet of roses and a box of chocolates. "Sir, I can't accept these," Jim replied. "Nonsense. My wife and I have been married for 50 years. Today is her birthday, and I've never forgotten one of them. It's my favorite day of the year. We get to celebrate her and do it together the entire day. I've been with her all day and just went to get these flowers and chocolates to give her. I'm going to bring her dinner from her favorite Italian restaurant right now. She will totally understand when I tell her of your predicament, and she'll scold me if I don't give these to you. I don't want her to have to scold me on her birthday, so you really don't have a choice," the man said as he smiled a mile wide and handed Jim the lovely roses and chocolates. Jim thanked the man and thought about how amazing their marriage must be after 50 years if this man was still so excited to celebrate his wife's birthday. Moments later, the bus stopped. The man got up, shook Jim's hand, then reached into the seat next to him to grab the Italian dinner he and his wife were to have on her birthday. As the man got off the bus, Jim watched as he walked with energy, passion, and presence and the Italian dinner grasped so carefully in both hands into a graveyard right beyond the bus stop. As other passengers got on the bus, a tear ran from Jim's eye as he saw the old man walk over to the tombstone, put down a picnic cloth, kiss the tombstone, and set up dinner. It was going to be a great birthday after all.
By the end of that story, all three of us, Edith, Coach Kenny, and I, were in tears.
Matthew Simons, there's commitment out of convenience, and there's next level commitment. This story is about next level commitment. Why do more than 50% of marriages end in divorce? Because people think they are 50% responsible for success of a relationship. If you want the relationship to work, you must be 100% invested, not 50, 100%. You must believe you are responsible for success of the relationship, and you must be 100% invested.
I had forgotten Aaron's birthday in the past and had been on the road for Michael and Brina's birthdays many times. 100% invested, making Aaron's birthday my favorite holiday of the year, next level commitment. I was ready. I couldn't imagine my life without them.
Matthew Simons, I think you are ready for the four key distinctions of the great team player. May I get anything for you, Coach Kenny, before we continue? Do you want anything to drink?
Edith asked.
I would love a Fuddruckers sweet cherry cream soda if you have one. I am good on food,
Coach Kenny said. Make that two if you can, I followed.
It's a pleasure,
Edith said.
Let me go get them for you. Fuddruckers is one of Dr. Rob's favorites. We always have plenty of the world's greatest hamburgers up in here.
Chapter 11, Over Deliver.
As Edith returned with two Fuddruckers sweet cherry cream sodas, she also had two Texas burgers and a batch of sweet potato French fries.
I knew you two were from Texas, and I know everyone likes fries. It's also my personal policy to over-deliver. Enjoy, men. Welcome to Detroit.
Edith said with a smile as she high-fived both Coach Kenny and I and said, Detroit, Detroit, both times.
By the way, it's almost the end of the first quarter and still 0-0. If you guys want to go catch the game, just let me know. I could sit here and talk about relationships all day long.
I'm more than good,
Coach Kenny responded. I love this. You have no idea how much this is helping me, Edith, I said.
Well, okay then. It's a pleasure. Anything you need, just let me know,
Edith replied with a smile.
Now, where were we? Oh yeah, the four key distinctions of a great team player.
Chapter 12, number 4. Four key distinctions of a great team player.
We have identified four key distinctions of a great team player and the type of person that we want to have on our team here in Detroit.
Edith said.
We hire for attitude and train for skill. We're looking for people who possess four key distinctions because we feel that they are critical to being a great team player, and we feel like it's easier to train someone to have the skills of customer service and hospitality than it is to train their attitude. First, we are always looking for people who will execute their role, but don't accept their role.
I'm not sure I understand the difference, Edith. What are they?
Matthew Simons, we want people who will do anything. Just the other day, I saw Dr. Rob bringing toilet paper to the bathroom because it had ran out. We want people who will do anything to help pick a teammate up, and we want those people that also want to progress in the system and receive promotion,
Edith said.
We don't want anyone to get complacent because we believe that complacency kills. We want people who are comfortable with being uncomfortable, who execute whatever role they are asked to play for the betterment of the team, and at the same time are always looking for more, to grow into a role with more responsibility so that they can help impact and influence more people. The second key distinction we look for is someone who clearly lives we over me. Part of our job interview is to leave a pack of gum with one piece in it in front of the candidate, and then when we let them know that it's there for them, we look to see if they will offer it to everyone else in the room before they take it. We also do other types of revealing activities in our interview process. That's just one of them to see how they act. Do they think of me first or we first? We want people who are going to put we over me. The third key distinction we as a hospitality staff learned is from Coach Shea. He talks about how great teammates have a player over starter mentality, that every player here in Detroit wants to be a starter, but they have to want to be a player more. We love this mindset because if you are focusing on being a better employee, you will perform better and thus have the chance to get promoted. We don't want you to focus on the promotion. We want you to focus on the process, on executing in the moment at the highest level for others, and the results will be a promotion. The fourth of the key distinctions is to always put team first and team last. We want the first thing you think about when you show up here to be the team, and the last thing you think about before you leave to be the team. great team players. We have so many on our hospitality staff, and I wish you could meet them all. I just did not realize how many people were going to be at this game today up in the suite. It's crazy. Team first and team last. It's a great mindset to live by when it comes to relationships. Speaking of relationships, I'm in the process of reading a book with other members of our leadership team, and it's not only helping me here at the stadium, it's totally helping me in my marriage. I'm recommending it to everybody.
Edith said as she raised her hands out wide to her side.
It has answered so many questions I have had all my life about relationships. It's called...
Chapter 13, Number 5, The Five Love Languages.
The book is called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. It has opened up my eyes to a whole new level of communication. And as I am sure you both have learned, many of the negative issues that we experience in relationships come from a breakdown in...
Communication, I said, answering Edith's second callback.
Exactly, communication.
Edith responded.
What Gary Chapman breaks down in The Five Love Languages is how we all have a primary love language in which we speak and in which we receive love. The analogy I love is that of a gas tank, which we call a love tank. We all have one of these, and there are five types of gas or fuel that you can use to fill the love tank of your partner or of those who you work with. The acronym I use to help our team remember the five love languages is GAS-T2. G equals gifts. A equals words of affirmation. S, acts of service. T, quality time. T, quality touch. There is a sweet survey you can take to find out your primary love language. It's at www.5lovelanguages.com. I took this, and so did my husband, and we found out that neither of us knew the other's primary love language, so we could not intentionally fill our love tanks. Knowing your partner's love language is like having an instructional booklet on how to succeed in your relationship. I am a big quality touch and words of affirmation person. My husband is quality time and acts of service. Knowing that, I make sure that I have ample time to spend with him doing whatever he wants to do. And I do things like fold his laundry and bring him food from the stadium when I come home, so that I am doing acts of service for him. On the other hand, he is more intentionally touching me, which I love, and saying nice things to me. Today, he said, I looked amazing before I left the house. He used to never say things like that. It made me feel so good walking out of the house. So good. That I can hardly wait to get home to see him, if you know what I mean.
Edith said, laughing.
That makes a lot of sense, Edith. My wife and I went through the book together years ago, and it has been a critical part of our relationship success.
Coach Kenny commented.
We also use the same principles here in our presidential suite. You will see our team of servers giving gifts, saying positive things to people, doing acts of service, like bringing people more food or picking up after them, as well as asking them if they want us to start their car on those cold Detroit days. We make sure that we are overstaffed so that we can be more present and have more quality time with our friends, and also make sure that we tell each person at least once that they are standing or sitting in a high five zone, which you two are right now.
Edith said, leaning forward and giving us each a high five while saying Detroit with level 8 energy. Edith, I will 100% pick up that book. It sounds amazing, I said. What else can you share with me about having winning relationships?
Well,
Edith replied,
not to get too textbook on you here, but the sixth of the 12 ways to have winning relationships comes back to the same old school psychology that still holds true today.
Chapter 14, Number 6, Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs.
Well, not to get too textbook on you here, but the sixth of the 12 ways to have winning relationships comes back to the same old school psychology that still holds true today, known as Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs.
Edith said,
one must know this in order to truly excel in relationships, because knowing his pyramid will explain a lot of various behaviors you see from people and give you a better understanding of where they are coming from. I also subscribe to a school of thinking that is not right or wrong. It just is what it is. Acceptance and detachment have helped me grow a ton. Maslow was a pioneer in psychology who summarized a lot of the early research into human motivation by creating a five-level pyramid. I will do my best to explain. The base of the pyramid, one, is physiological needs, the need for air, water, food, shelter, etc. The next level, two, is the need for safety, which could be a home, job, medical help, things like that. The next level, three, includes emotional needs of loving and belonging. Once people are able to take care of levels 1 to 2, they get into the emotional needs of feeling as if they belong, are cared for, and are part of something. The next level, 4, is the need for esteem, the feeling that we matter and that what we do is important. This is where I was stuck before Sandra took me under her wing and showed me that what I did really mattered in the lives of others. I was not seeing that, and a big part of leadership style here in the hospitality part of the organization is getting people to see why and how what they do matters. Everybody. We know that you may not be somebody to everybody, but you are sure everybody to somebody. So we approach each person, each of our friends, as if we are that everybody for that person. It's a fun game to play. The perspective really helps with the fake it till you make it piece. The top of the pyramid, 5, is self-actualization. Simply stated as pursuing the best version of you that you can be. This is the reason why you are here with me now and not watching the game. You want more, and you know that you need to become more to get to the top of the pyramid.
Edith continued.
Also, know this. You can never truly reach the top of the pyramid. You are always in pursuit of the top of the pyramid. Remember that the race to excellence has no finish line. You never become. You are always in pursuit of. The journey is the reward. The destination is disease. Focus on the journey, not the end point. Focus on continuing to move up Maslow's pyramid, and you will become the best you can be.
As I sat there trying to figure out where on Maslow's pyramid of needs I was sure it wasn't the top. I wasn't pursuing the best version of myself. Yet. I think I bounced between the emotional and the esteem needs. I knew one thing. I was going to go to work on myself and become more so that I could be more for others. To me, that was what self-actualization was all about. Having myself so dialed in and under control that I can help others to do the same. I was well on my way. I wanted to know the rest of what Edith had to offer.
Chapter 15, number 7, Two Main Connectors.
I hope I didn't lose you there with Maslow,
Edith said.
I think it's important that you know the pyramid of needs so that when you are meeting with and serving people, you can have a better ballpark idea of where they are coming from. Let me see if I could simplify this for you. Which leads us to the 7th of the 12 ways to have winning relationships. People generally like people who are like them and people who can do one of two things for them. They can, 1, help that person to avoid pain, or 2, help that person to gain pleasure. If you can help others to gain pleasure or avoid pain, there will be a foundation for a relationship to start. That's what we refer to as two main connectors.
Edith continued.
We are constantly searching for ways to help our friends in those ways. Dr. Rob is great at that. He is always intentionally trying to help people avoid pain or gain pleasure. I think that might have been his basis for introducing us. He probably thought I could help you, Matthew Simons, to avoid pain and gain pleasure.
Edith said.
I hope I have succeeded in doing that.
Oh, Edith, you most certainly have. You are amazing.
Well, thank you, Matthew Simons. I am the average of the 5 people I associate with most. And the people in this organization, starting with Dr. Rob, are just the best.
Edith responded.
I am too blessed to be stressed. Too many positive things happening in my life to waste a precious second focusing on the negatives. I don't want to attract those to me anyway, and I'm a big believer in the law of attraction and how your thoughts become things. What I would like to do is to take you through the remaining 5 ways to have winning relationships, if you would like to.
Edith asked. Like to? I'd love to, I exclaimed. This has been incredible. You are for sure helping me to avoid much future pain and gain a lot more pleasure. Thank you so very much, Edith. You are the best.
It's a pleasure,
she replied.
Chapter 16, number 8, 5 Major Motivators.
The 5 major motivators really make sense when it comes to why people connect or start to break apart and end relationships.
Edith said.
These have really helped me understand why people do what they do and why some people click and others don't. The first of the 5 major motivators is what you do. People are motivated by what they do. The second is why you do what you do. The third is how you do what you do. A lot of people here in Detroit are motivated by how we do what we do. The energy, the passion, the high five zone, and the emphasis on knowing people's names and using their names is definitely unique. The fourth is who you do it with.
I know from personal experience that I am motivated to come to the stadium every day to work with Dr. Rob and Coach Shea. I don't think I am alone in saying that either. Those two guys are a blast to work with. The fifth of the five major motivators is finding what you hate and then fighting against it. I never understood this one because I thought it was negative and I'm a positive person. However, I hate when people are negative. I hate negativity, so I fight against negativity, and that motivates me. My positivity must be stronger than your negativity. That's my fight.
I fight against average,
Coach Kenny said.
I don't like anything about average. I think you either commit to excellence or you don't do it at all. I also fight against fat. Having been 240 pounds and knowing what it feels like to be out of shape and overweight, now that I'm back to 185 pounds, I will fight against obesity because it will literally kill you. And if it doesn't kill you, it will kill those who look up to you because a fat father usually has fat kids. Why? Because look at their role model. It reminds me of a story, if I may share.
Please, Coach Kenny, I think I have a good handle on the five major motivators. Please share your story. I love when you tell them.
Okay, I will. But first, which of the major motivators do you resonate with most, Matthew Simons?
I thought for a minute. I thought they all resonated with me. For some reason, why I did what I did struck me the most. I think it's why. Why I do what I do is to provide financially for my family and to be able to have a positive impact on the lives of others. I think I've just gotten carried away with traveling too much, and I'm going to make the commitment to be home more and take better care of myself. Then I will be able to show up better, not just for my family, but for my clients. I mean, friends as well.
High five to that,
Edith said, giving me a high five and a Detroit.
Chapter 17, From Fat to Fit.
There was a man named Mo. Mo was fat. He knew it. His doctor told him, his wife told him, the scale told him, and so did his children. Mo's boss at the office told him that he would like to promote him to a leadership role in the company because he connected so well with people, but he had a hard time doing so because he believed that leaders weren't fat, that being fat was a sign of either laziness or a lack of commitment to self. Mo's boss was a believer that you can't truly be committed to anything or anyone else unless you were committed to yourself first. Well, one day, Mo's only son dropped to the floor in the middle of a basketball game. After rushing him to the hospital, they found out that he had kidney failure and was going to be in need of a kidney transplant. The only problem was that the list to be on a kidney transplant for the type of kidney that Mo's son needed was very long and the donor list was very short. He would need to be bedridden and stay in the hospital till they found a donor. After checking Mo's wife, who was not a match, the doctor looked at Mo and said, "Typically, we find a match with the boy's father. Unfortunately, in this case, it's too much of a major risk to you to give a kidney to your son." Mo lost a pound a day for 125 straight days and was able to donate one of his kidneys to his son. Once Mo found a strong enough reason why, he found and executed the how. Everyone is motivated by different reasons. I have found that our greatest focus, discipline, and execution come when we get super clear on our why. Having the discussion with your family and your team about why you do what you do can be extremely powerful. In the case of Mo, it was life-saving.
Chapter 18, number 9, Jaromir Jagr and Your 68.
Coach Kenny, that was a great story, I said. May I share a story with you guys that Aaron, being a former hockey player, always tells?
Is it the story of Jaromir Jagr and finding your 68?
Edith asked. Yes. How did you know? I replied.
Weird. That story is one we tell all the time. It's actually number 9 of the 12 ways to have winning relationships.
Edith answered.
We have every person on our team share their 68 at the start of each season and dedicate the season to that person. It's an emotion-filled evening where you get to learn a lot about the people that you call teammates. It might be my favorite night of the year.
Okay, here goes. Aaron usually tells it. Our kids love it, and so do I. In the spring of 1968, Dubček, the party secretary of the communist government in Czechoslovakia, decided to open the borders economically and culturally to the West. The Soviets saw this as defiance to the Warsaw Pact and invaded the nation overnight. Posting tanks in Prague, they arrested Dubček and took him out of power and put in their own puppet regime. That year is especially important to the Czech Republic. It was the time that serious resistance to the Soviet machine was started. Jagr, chose the number 68 to show his pride in his nation, in his home country, and as a reminder of what the Prague Spring meant to the world. His grandfather also died in prison that year. Jager wears number 68 to honor those who lost their lives and to honor his grandfather. We all have a 68 inside of us, inside of our story, that can motivate and inspire us to give more, to do more, to be more, and to serve more. I can't thank you guys enough for all you have taught me here today. This has been amazing.
Matthew Simons, you need to tap into your 68. You need to find your 68 and identify what and who is most important to you in your life. And then find a way to get more time and attention with those things. That won't happen by accident either.
Edith commented as she put her hand on my shoulder.
That will only happen by...
intention. Intention, I exclaimed. That will only happen by intention. I will determine my 68 and use that to drive my decisions and actions on a daily basis. I won't let you down, Edith.
I know you won't, Matthew Simons.
Edith said.
That's what Coach Kenny and I are here for, to help you stay accountable to your plan. I want to be one of your accountability partners. I want to be on your team.
All I could say was thank you.
Chapter 19, number 10, Six Human Needs.
You told that story great, Matthew Simons. Well done.
Edith said.
Here we also focus on what we call the six human needs, different than the five that Maslow found. These six help you connect with others as well and are the 10th piece we teach about the 12 ways to have winning relationships. Again, remember that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. If you try to do all 12 of these, you will fail. Start with one, just one, and then work from there.
That makes total sense to me. Less is more, I said.
Unless you are talking Fuddruckers sweet cherry cream soda, then more is more.
Coach Kenny said as he took his last sip of his drink.
Another one coming right up, sir. It's a pleasure.
Edith responded.
But first, let's finish with the 12 ways to have winning relationships. The 10th way is to understand the six human needs. 1, the need for certainty. 2, the need for uncertainty. 3, the need for significance. 4, the need for love and connection. 5, the need for growth. 6, the need for contribution. Us humans, we are a complex breed. We have both the need for certainty and uncertainty, and those are conflicting. It's why we crave both routine and spontaneity. We need both to be at our best. We also have to feel significant and like we matter, that we are important, yet we also yearn for love and connection, which you can only get at the highest level when you fully give of yourself and expect nothing in return. We also have the need for growth, to keep learning and working towards the best version of us we have ever been, as well as the need to contribute, to leave the world a better place and be a part of something bigger than ourselves. When you can find something that provides all six of these for you, you will never leave. You will be on a mission, and you will be fulfilled. For me, I get all six of these coming here every day to work for this great organization. You know that you're going to have your regulars and your friends, and you know there are going to be new people to meet. You're going to feel significant because we need to be the best organization we can be, and we are very clear about making sure all of our team members are fully aware that they are needed. You get that love and connection by putting smiles on your friends' faces and getting high fives and hugs from your teammates. You are also growing because we are always learning new skills, new mindsets, and being openly invited and encouraged to grow to the next level and be the best version of us that we can be. We are also contributing to an experience that families work all week to enjoy together. We are contributing to the lives, and today we are contributing to their Thanksgiving. It's a blessing to be here. Man, it's a pleasure. I love it here.
Chapter 20, number 11, 5 steps to train others.
Here in Detroit, we are big believers in training.
Edith continued.
We believe that where we are right now and where we will be in 5 years from now is due to one critical factor, training. We have a 5-step process that we follow to help train others so that we can multiply leaders. Our 5-step process is the 11th way to have winning relationships. First, we model what we want done while we have those who are being trained pay close attention to our process. Almost everything we do can be described as a process so that we can be consistent over time. Once they watch us and have gone through the checklist, we move to the second step, which is to mentor. Now we change roles and they are the ones who are executing
and we as leaders are mentoring them. It's key here that we reteach the process and why we do what we do. The third step is to monitor the person. You must inspect what you expect, and we observe and monitor how they are doing with minimal feedback or instructions from us so that we can evaluate their readiness. The fourth step is to motivate. Motivation is like bathing. We all need a daily dose or we start to stink. We keep bringing encouraging words and physical contact to motivate the person we are training. The fifth step is to have the person who is just trained to start teaching others so that we can keep growing our team. How does this all lead to having winning relationships? It all ties back in that if you are helping enough other people get what they want, you will get everything in life that you want. Sander helped me that one day, and I have been helping others ever since.
Edith said,
there's no better feeling than going on the journey with someone else and taking them through the training process so that they can become more. Through this process, you help them avoid pain, gain pleasure, and achieve significance so that they can contribute more and you are helping them grow. This five-step training process has been fabulous for helping us mentor each other and grow our relationships.
Do you think these work at home as well? I asked.
They sure do,
Edith replied.
I use the same process now with Stuart and Tyler all the time. Once one of them understands what I want from them, because I have shown them the way by following this process, they then take great pride in mentoring and multiplying it in the other. Shoot, they use this process with mentoring me on the iPhone and computer more than I use it with them.
I will for sure be using this with Michael and Brina when I get home, I responded with a laugh. Do you think it works on twin French Bulldogs as well? I miss those little girls, and man, oh man, did they ever need some training.
Chapter 21, number 12, 9 Psychological Movers and Influencers.
The last of the 12 ways to have winning relationships is to understand how to move people to action. In the hospitality industry, you have to help people make up their minds and make decisions. In order to do that consistently, you need a process. Helping them make decisions will help them have a better experience, and that's our primary mission in the hospitality industry, to provide you with a world-class experience.
Edith said,
we have 9 what we call psychological movers and influencers that we use in communication to help our friends make decisions so that they can enjoy the game or the event taking place. Here are the 9. Number 1, we want to be seen as trusted authority, so we must know our menu, the stadium, and the team inside and out. Number 2, people like to give back or come back to places that give to them, so we have a free giveaway at every game. Number 3, we get to know each person by name so that they feel like they can trust us. This takes time, but we can speed up the process by being present. You can never trust someone who isn't in the present. Number 4, we are always trying to build anticipation. We always talk up the next event at our current event. We are always talking about what's next while we are living what's now. Number 5 is to be likable. People like people who are like them. So we try to match our hospitality staff to the likings of the server. And if we have a favorable feedback card on a server, that friend will get that server again. Number 6 is to create events and rituals. Like we all sing Sweet Caroline at halftime and everyone loves the new high five zone. Number 7 is to create community norms. We all stop moving during the national anthem and say Detroit as we get or give a high five. Number 8 is to practice scarcity. The opportunities we have to try new items are limited. Thus, the new items are always gone first. Number 9 is to show social proof. We are always playing testimonial videos from our fans, coaches, players, and employees that talk about how great the Detroit game day experience is.
Well, I sure would echo that, I said. I got much more than I ever anticipated coming to the stadium here today. This has been amazing.
Well, it's about to get even better,
Edith said.
Chapter 22, Sideline.
Before I unveil your next gift, may I please get your birthdays?
Edith asked.
I put all my friends' birthdays on my Google Calendar so that they pop up each morning and I can send you a happy birthday selfie video. It's such a simple way for me to stay in contact with the people who have graced my life and are part of who I am today.
As both Coach Kenny and I wrote our birthdays down for Edith, I thought about how easy that would be to do and how cool it would be for me to reach out to every one of my friends at least once a year. I was totally going to do that selfie video on their birthday deal.
Dr. Rob told me that after we covered the 12 ways to have winning relationships and talked about how to sail the right ships, that he wanted me to take you guys to the sidelines so that you could see the game from there.
Edith said.
Coach Kenny, he also asked if you would be prepared to address the team at halftime in case Coach Shea wanted the guys to hear from a different voice. It's still 0-0 when we're just about done with the first quarter.
Edith, you are amazing. Thank you so very much for sharing with me the 12 ways to have winning relationships. I'm going to use them all, I said as I gave her a big bear hug. And don't worry, I will use them all just one at a time.
Edith, you are the model of how to build winning relationships. Your whole being is contagious. You are a special, special person,
Coach Kenny said.
Matthew Simons, Coach Kenny, it's a pleasure. I am just executing my mission and here to serve. Now may I take you to get that refill of Fuddrucker sweet cherry cream soda and take you guys to the field for the second half? And Coach Kenny, from all the positives I heard about your speech to the team before the game, you should be prepared to speak to them again at halftime.
Edith said.
How about I have Matthew Simons speak to the team?
Coach Kenny asked. My heart about sank. I wasn't sure I was ready for that.
Want to know what Matthew Simons does next? Continue the journey by visiting briankane.com/presentmomentfocus.